I'm back. And it didn't take 19 years, so it's good to be back with you. Last time I was here, I preached on stress. And that afternoon and the following week, my stressors increased magnificently. So today, I am preaching about the joy of God. I want to know the joy of God going into this week. Actually, we're talking about facing giants, so I'm kind of curious about what giants I'm going to have to face next week. I want to share with you, though, before we get started, how great thou art. Oh, I just wanted to applaud. That was just powerful. And it reminded me, some of you know I'm a hospice chaplain now. I've been doing it for almost 4 months. And I was with a patient recently who is in her 90s, was out of it. Once in a while, I would read scripture, and she would look up and smile. And her daughter was there, and her daughter said, "You know, she really rallies when we play old church hymns." And so I started singing, "How Great Thou Art," and I was praying that I remembered the words. And as I was singing, she looked up, and she started singing with me. You know, those songs just never go away. You know. I'm not going to do as I normally do. I usually read the entire text and then get into the message. I'm going to break it down for you and read. If you're following along in the notes, I'm just going to read the verses as we come to them at each point there. But let's pray and let's ask God to speak to us again this morning. Father God, we come before you now and we ask, Lord, that you indeed would pour out your Spirit in this place. That you would continue to speak to our hearts, Lord. That you would speak to our minds and our souls. Father, if we are weary from the week before, if the battles have got us down, Lord, breathe new life into us so that we once again can go out and face the giants. Lord, this is your day. This is your time. This is your place. We rejoice and we are glad in it. In the name of Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. So, yeah, I've already preached at the first service, and John said I was, what did he say? What was it? Oh, in rare form. Was he saying that I'm typically not as bad as I was? that was rare to really be off? I don't know. He's got a good sense of humor. I like John. Gotten to know him. Even though he is Lutheran, I understand. That's okay. So earlier in the week, I had to come up with a sermon title. And I came up, and a psalm. I came up with Psalm 20, looked at it and said, facing giants, thinking about David and Goliath. But then I got studying it and I thought, you know, you really could call this fighting the battles. But as I even studied more and looked at it, I thought, no, you know, when we're fighting the battles, we are going up against giants, opposition, adversity, the enemy. So when we are looking at Psalm 20, I want us to understand that this is a prayer that David wrote for his people to pray for him as he went out into battle. It was kind of a benediction, a blessing over him for God's favor so that as he went to war, he would come back victorious having defeated the enemy. You know, our world, our situation today is a lot different, but very similar as to ancient Israel in the time of David. We probably won't face the kinds of giants, be in the battles that David and the Israelites fought. But as a follower of Christ, life is a battle. And there are giants in the land. There is opposition, adversity around every corner and in every area of our lives. One person wrote, "Where our life or our sanity, our work or our witness, our future or our family is threatened by powers and circumstances external to us, perhaps even stronger to us." For some, the battle in life is maintaining a faithful marriage or having sexual purity. For others, it's raising children, making ends meet, maintaining a gentle spirit in the face of opposition. Those will be giants that others face. And of course, for many, the giants that they are battling include cancer, addiction, gambling, pornography. And then you can broaden the specter a bit, and we can look at the giants that maybe we don't encounter all of the time, but we know they are out there, such as human trafficking, racism, homelessness, poverty, and the list goes on. Make no mistake about it, there are giants in the land. And my prayer is that God, through His Word and by His Holy Spirit, will equip us and prepare us to face those giants and to fight the battle. So our first point this morning is that when you are facing giants, be covered in prayer. And so those are the first three verses I want us to look at from Psalm 20. Verses 1 to 3 say, "May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May He send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion." For many years, Debbie and I, even when we lived here, we would take our kids and travel to Northern California, and more recently it would be from Southern California up to Northern California to stay with my in-laws, usually over the holidays or a vacation in the summertime. And a lot of Debbie's siblings, all of them and their families, would often be there as well. And one particular visit, as our family was getting ready to head out, because we were usually the first family to leave because we had the furthest to travel, we would pack in the car, we would load it up, we would get in to our seats, buckle up, turn on the engine, and the rest of the family was standing in the driveway with their hands behind their back, and we didn't know what was going on. And as we started to pull out of the driveway, we looked and we saw that everybody was waving a white towel as we left. It was their blessing to us. It was their way of saying, "God bless you, protect you as you travel home until we meet again." Became a tradition. Every time a family member or an individual would leave a gathering, we'd all be standing there. Everybody knew what was coming at this point. It's been a long time now. And we would stand there with this smile on our face, and as they pulled out, we would wave our white towels. "May God bless you." It was a benediction, a prayer over them. When I go home this is home. When I go back to Egypt this Friday, and pick up Debbie to travel back up here, we're going to stop off at our middle daughter's home with her family, her two daughters. And as we leave, perhaps they will wave the white towels as we go on our journey back up to Yakima. On the way up, we'll pull over in Santa Rosa and visit my mother-in-law. And she may, as I'm sure, stand in her lot and wave a white towel as we pull away. Well, she probably will now because it's been recorded. I've talked about it. She will watch it this week. Last summer, my father-in-law, Max, went home to be with the Lord at the age of 97. He lived a full life, a servant of God. Up to his final day almost, he was baptizing men in a river after they had accepted Christ, because he was a part of an organization, the Salvation Army, where these offenders, addicts, were given the choice to go to jail or meet with Max. They didn't know what they were doing when they said, "Well, we'll meet with Max." And many of them became saved. And as a result of that, there were over 100 men that he baptized in this river. Even if they had to take the wheelchair, and it's not an easy climb, put him in his wheelchair and take him down to the river, he would at least be there to watch the baptisms if he couldn't be there himself. So it was a no-brainer when he passed away what we were going to do with his ashes. And so I had the privilege, it was a year ago last weekend, that I had the privilege to stand in the river with two other men and pour his ashes in that river, to stand there where he had baptized so many men. And on the shores, everybody gathered, had a white towel. We were giving a blessing to Max. We were sending him home, where he no doubt faced his Maker and heard the voice of his Lord saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That image is what God gave to me out of Psalm 20. in these opening three verses of Psalm 20, you can almost picture God's people waving white towels as David heads out for another battle, asking God to bless him and protect him as he goes to face the giants. Many believe that David wrote this prayer so that God's people could pray over him as he went out to battle. Every time you see the word "you" or "your," it's singular. It's one person. It refers to David. And when you see "we" used later on in verse 5, it's plural. It means it's the people of God. It's the multitude of God's people praying for one person, David, as he goes out into battle. And notice what they pray. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble, in the day of opposition, in the day of adversity, when you are going against the enemy. Then they say, may the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Mount Zion. In other words, they are asking God to look favorably upon his servant. They're asking God to pour blessings from heaven onto David, to protect him, to give him victory, that even in defeat, God would be victorious. Then in verse 3, they say, may God, he, remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. David was called from tending sheep to become the king of Israel. And a part of his duty was to offer sacrifices at the altar. And he faithfully did his duty as king. And the people are saying, may God remember your faithfulness, your obedience to his call. But with an eye on faith, as you look at these verses, the sacrifices, the offerings of David point to the future sacrifice. The future king, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And in the way that God's people were intervening on behalf of David, so Jesus, while on the cross, intervened for us. The perfect sacrifice. The ultimate sacrifice. And he prayed to his Father and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And even now, Jesus, sitting on the right hand of God the Father, intercedes on our behalf. And he has given to us the promised gift of the Holy Spirit, who now intercedes for us, who prays words that we don't even understand that reach the throne of God. The Holy Spirit speaks to our heart, prompts us to seek God, and in the meantime prepares us and equips us for the battle that is ahead. As you and I face giants, as you and I go out into the battles that are before us, we need to have people praying for us. We need to have brothers and sisters in Christ interceding on our behalf, asking for God's protection, so that we then can live our life faithfully and obediently as a servant of God, so that we too will one day hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. We need people to pray that we will run this race well. And that brings us to the second point. As we face giants, we need to run the race that is set before us. Listen to verse 4 and 5. The people continue praying for David. May he, God, grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation and in the name of God set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Notice what they pray. May God grant you your heart's desire. May he answer you in the sanctuary. May he give to you the fulfillment of your plans. But we don't know what those plans are if we don't seek God, if we aren't in the sanctuary. You see, when we come into this place, into this sanctuary on Sunday mornings, God is already here. He's already prepared the place. He's already prepared the day. He welcomes us at the front door and he greets us. And as we enter into worship, as we lift our voices of praise, as we pray, as we listen to God's Word, the Holy Spirit is poured out into our hearts and our spirit and our souls, refreshing us and restoring us from what we have experienced this past week, and then equipping and empowering us to go out and face more giants or to continue the battle. You see, today is the day that God has set aside for His people to come together. It's the Sabbath that He wants us to be obedient to. And when we come here, we come able to stand in the presence of God only by the blood of Christ, to come before His throne of grace, to receive mercy in our time of trouble. But it's a time in which we also come before God and we bend our knee in our heart and we confess our sins. And we trust and believe that He is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us, that He will pick us up off the ground and send us back out into the battlefield. That's what grace is all about. But then, we're also reminded as we gather into this sanctuary and you look around and you see all the familiar faces, that we're not running this race alone. We're not fighting this battle all by ourselves. We need one another to endure the battle. We need one another to run this race set before us, to run with perseverance, to finish the race well. That's why Paul says, don't neglect coming together. And when you come together, embrace one another. Dust each other off from last week's battles. Encourage one another. Spur one another on to love and good deeds. You see, if we try to run this race on our own, if we neglect gathering together with other brothers and sisters in Christ, if we neglect coming and offering ourselves before God, when we try to go out and fight the giants, when we go out and face the battles of the day, we will grow tired and weary. And we will experience the agony of defeat more often than we do the thrill of victory that is ours in Christ. So notice how these people encourage David as he goes into battle. They say, may He grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. Now, don't get all excited and think that God's going to give you whatever your little heart wants. It basically means as we come and seek God, as we offer ourselves to Him as holy and living sacrifices, that God will pour Himself into us. And His desires become our desires. His will becomes our will. And we're able to pray, God, grant to us the desires of our heart because we know You have put them there. That we can pray according to God's will. You see, David was a man after God's own heart. He sought to know the heart of God so that he could pray and live his life according to the will of God. Yeah, he stumbled along the way. But God continued to pick him up and dust him off and put him back into the race. So despite times of weakness, David ran the race and he fought the good fight. He defeated the giants. And then, verse 5 says, the people could celebrate the victory. In verse 5 it says, may we, again, the people of God, may we shout for joy over your salvation, over your victory that God has given to you. May we shout for joy over your salvation and in the name of our God set up our banners. You see, those people were praying for God to have victory in the battles that David went into so that they could welcome him back as the conquering warrior. And they could wave their banners of victory or their white towels. You and I need to have others in our life, not only praying for us, but encouraging us, cheering us on, applauding us. We need to have people gather around us when we are in the midst of the battle to support us, to hold us up, to spur us on. But it's not that simple. See, because if I ask you to pray for a battle that I am experiencing, if I ask you to pray that God will give me strength to run this race well and to finish strong, that I won't give in to temptation, your expectation and your hope is that I'll come back victorious. You see, if I invite you in to pray for my battles, then I am held accountable to you and ultimately to the one who judges all of us according to our deeds. So it's a scary thing to ask somebody to pray for us, to be vulnerable, to share with them our weaknesses, our struggles, our battles. Because they want to come back. They want to say, how's it going? We're praying for you. What's God doing? Share with us the victory. Or how can we continue to spur you on and lift you up? But the flip side is true. What an honor and a privilege for me to pray for you in the midst of a battle and to celebrate the victory that God brings because of Christ. We need people in our lives praying for us, spurring us on, celebrating the victories, having compassion and grace with us in the defeats. And then finally, when we're facing giants, we need to trust in God. Because after all, the battle belongs to Him and we get to celebrate the victory. God is the one who is our shield and our defense. He is the one that fights on our behalf. So listen to these concluding verses 6-9. David now enters into the picture and it is he who is now offering these words. Now I know that the Lord saves His anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. O Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call. To ask God to pour out his blessings and his protection from the sanctuary is basically saying, God, whatever you plan in heaven, may it take place and may you accomplish your will here on earth. But it also means as we gather into the sanctuary, as we live our lives wholly devoted to God as living sacrifices, may you be victorious. May we fix our eyes on you, not on the battle, not on the enemy. May we find strength in you. And not our own power, not our own abilities, not our own righteousness. David, in entering into the psalm, says, now I, David, know that the Lord saves His anointed. You see, each of us have been called by God, anointed by God, to be used by God in the body of Christ, each of us doing our part. And if we have others who are praying for us, if we have others who are spurring us on, we can stand with David and say, now I know that the Lord saves His anointed. Now I know the Lord will use me. Now I know the Lord will protect me. Now even if I face defeat, God will bring about redemption. We trust in God in all things. David doesn't necessarily rely on horses and chariots, not even the armor that he was given to fight David. No, he says in verse 7, the very familiar verse, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. David did not put trust in his own strength. He didn't put trust in chariots and horses or large armies. When he faced Goliath, he said, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel. David knows that if God is on his side, nothing can defeat him. Paul writes in Romans 8, if God is for us, nothing can come against us. Jesus said himself, with God, all things are possible. And in John 15, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. It's like a line I love in one of these Tom Cruise movies that I enjoy called Night and Day, where he says to Cameron Diaz, with me, without me. With God, without God. All things are possible in me. Without me, you can do nothing. With God, without God. Some will trust in horses and chariots, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. You see, when we offer a prayer, and as we often do, we conclude it by saying, in the name of Jesus, amen. What we're doing is acknowledging, putting a seal at the end of our prayer, trusting and believing and confessing that there is no higher name than the name of Jesus. There is no higher power, no greater authority than the name of Jesus, who has already defeated the enemy, who has destroyed death, who has abolished our sin. There is no greater name. Basically, when we're saying in the name of Jesus, what we are saying is everything I pray, everything I give to you, God, I trust now, and in the name of Jesus, I say yes and amen. May it be so. You see, to the disciples and to the world watching, when Jesus was on the cross, when he eventually died and was put into a tomb, they thought that he was defeated. But 3 days later, he rose from the grave, and you could almost hear God from heaven saying, yes and amen. The victory belongs to our Lord. Then we get to the final verse of Psalm 20. And it says, O Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call. Again, it is the people of God uniting their voices, lifting their prayers in a time of battle, trusting in the one who gives them and continues to give them and us the ultimate victory. As God's people, we need to be on our knees because there are giants in the land. As a church, as a follower of Christ, we are facing the enemy on a regular basis. We are coming against the opposition that would want to silence us. And so as a congregation, we need to lift our voices together. We need to ask God to protect the bride of Christ as we strive to be a light in a very dark world. That at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. Make no doubt about it. There are giants in the land. And we need to be people of prayer. We will all face battles as we go from here today. We don't know what's around the corner, but God does. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And he will equip you and prepare you for tomorrow's battles, but we need to enter in together on our knees because that's where the war takes place. We need to have people surround us and pray for us, encourage us, spur us on, so that we can run this race well, with perseverance, with integrity. So that we don't get so tired and so discouraged that we begin to compromise and cut corners and shrink back into the shadows. But know that we would continue to forge ahead. That we would trust and believe that if God is for us, nothing, not even the gates of hell, can come against us. That is the promise of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is the banner we need to wave as we go out into the battlefields. Let's pray. Father God, we need you. We need you to be our strength, to be our hope. We need you to be our guide. We need you to be our shield, our protector. We need your mercy in day of trouble. Lord, I pray as a church that we would indeed stand united as one voice, with one faith, believing in one Lord. That the world will see that we are not defeated, that Christ is indeed alive, and that in him everything is yes and amen. So Lord, go before us. Whatever battles we face, whatever giants are on the horizon, allow your perfect love to cast out any fear. Go before us. Stand behind us. Hem us in on both sides. Go, lead us. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. And all God's people said, Amen.